Shit.
I need that hand.
Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Gadfly.
This is Dr. Head. And you are experiencing.
Last episode, we talked about werewolves. This episode, we're going to talk about werepigs. War pigs.
Arnold!
On this episode of Heavy Metal Horror, we're going to talk about war... Wait a minute. Where am I?
Where am I? Werewolf am I?
There.
So, what y'all been doing?
Well, the song was Lungar, the band Lungar, and it was Second Sight for our intro.
Nice.
Yay, Lungar!
I liked it.
I like the name. The band's name, Lungar.
So, anybody doing anything, watching anything?
I'll start. I watched the Beastie Boys documentary on Apple TV, and it was... more of a tribute to Adam Yauch, the one who passed away in 2012. It was kind of a revelation to me because I thought, I didn't realize how influential Adam Yauch was. He was the bass player and had the really raspy voice. But all of those videos that they did, he was directing them as this guy named Hornberger. So he came up with all of those things. He's the one that came up with the concept like for their Sabotage, but then he got Spike Jones to come in and direct it. But he did all kinds of stuff. Like, he traveled around, you know, did the stuff with the Dalai Lama. So he was a way cooler person. They said he would just, when they did Paul's Boutique, which I didn't know the Dust Brothers did a lot of the music for that. He said after that it did so poorly, they decided to go back to their instruments. And he goes, and Adam Yauch goes and gets an upright bass, which is really hard to play. And he goes, plays it instantly, you know, and they show him playing it, which is really cool. But it was, I think they did a nice job of kind of keeping out all the drug abuse and all that kind of stuff. You know, they made allusions to it. But you're right. You said this about Professor Feather. It's hard to see people when they were young, and then you don't see them for a long time, and then they're really old. And so you see the both. Like, Ad Rock does not even look like himself at all anymore. He does not. But it was really good. I would recommend it. I forget how good of the music there was and how versatile that they got and just how crazy they were, especially when they started out as that party boy, you know, frat boy band.
That's the first thing. Yeah. Right. Well, the first MTV videos out there, and, you know, just.
That was the big room, the song by all the partier choices when I was an undergrad, you know, everyone Friday night, fight for your right to party. That was some of the, what was it? Brass Monkey. You know, that people were making drinks because of the song.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I love Sabotage. I'm a big fan of the Beastie Boys, but I absolutely love that song and the video. It's just perfect.
Something I didn't know, that main part where you hear the do, 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 that's the bass. And they said they wrote that in one session. He said they just walked into the studio and Adam Yauch is just up there doing that and making that sound. And so they picked up their instruments and just started playing along with it. And then they started recording it. And he said, they're like, that's the song. Yeah, it was great. That's when they also had Mario C, I think it is, on the keyboard or the organ. So that's when they introduced, that was Check Your Head, or they introduced the organ, but then this Sabotage was on Ill Communication. But yeah, that's what I saw. I just, I really highly recommend it if you can see it.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I spent a few weeks watching the Olympics. I absolutely love the Olympics, mostly the Winter Games. Not the fan of the Summer Games is fine, but Winter Olympics I really love. I like hockey, luge, and bobsled. I love curling. Absolutely, I like curling. I do. I like curling. I found it. I remember I was homesick, like when I'd never seen it before, and I was really
sick. It does have a nice subtle curve.
Had the flu or something. I turned it on. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, what are they doing? And then I kind of got into it. Maybe it was my fever dream. I'm like, oh my God, I think I get it. I'm like, oh no. But then I became a huge
fan. My stone across the ice. Yeah.
But I still love the watching international play, especially hockey.
What's the James Bond one? The one where they have to ski, shoot, and what else they have to do?
Triathlon?
Yeah, what else?
Well, there's a biathlon where they ski and shoot. You know, like, who decided to put that together? Someone was drinking a lot.
That's army shit right there.
Let's do cross-country skiing and then make people shoot at targets.
That's a Nordic thing. Yeah,
it was very practical. Yeah, I mean, hey, Norway, you know, they usually do very well in the Olympic skiing events. You know, but
I can hit a troll from a quarter mile.
As far as like new shows, there's a couple I've been watching that I don't know if you guys have seen, but I think you might really dig it. It's called Pluribus.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's done by Vince Gilligan, the guy who did Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And it stars Rebecca Seehorn, I think, who was in both of those shows. I don't want to spoil it because it's a really interesting show, but it's science fiction. I won't say end of the world, but just say change of the world kind of scenario. Have anyone ever heard of it?
Pluribus? Oh yeah, I've had it recommended to me by a couple of people, and they all say the same thing. They're like, I don't want to say anything about it. Just you watch.
Yeah,
you
know. Yeah. We're about five episodes. Pluribus. We're about five.
And what's
episodes
this on?
Apple TV.
I'm not sure.
Where, it's on Apple, where Apple TV.
It's Apple? Apple TV. Okay.
Yeah. Apple? I've got Apple right now, so okay.
Yeah, I just found it out in the interwebs. But
I started exploring Monarch too.
Yeah.
First season was pretty fun. I haven't seen season two, but I liked the first season of Monarch. Yeah.
It's good.
Skipped the first one. Since I hadn't seen it, I just started with the second one. I kind of get what's going on, but
that's terrible.
Yeah.
I know, right?
You stab a completist heart with your words.
But I must say, he does sound like his dad when he does do his stuff.
Oh my God, it's uncanny. Yeah, sometimes.
And if you like block his face off right here, it looks like him too.
Yeah, just kind of like Tom Hanks and Colin Hanks. Yeah. You know, Colin, yeah. A couple more. Danny McBride, older Danny McBride shows, Vice Principals and Eastbound and Down. Have you?
Yes.
Those are so good.
Yeah.
He plays the same character, like the same character type.
Kind of, yeah.
Everyone is all the time. Kind of builds up this like asshole, like, oh my God, you're just like the worst person in the world. Yeah. But he does it with such fluidity and such ease, you know?
He is funny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, he does the same thing in the situation. Yeah.
Well, Walter. Was it Goggins? Is also, you know,
Walton Goggins.
Yes. Oh my God, he's fantastic. You know, and Vice Principals. Just so.
Don't they do the Righteous Gemstones too?
Yes, which is brilliant. That is a brilliant show. Oh my God, is it good?
Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit before because the newest season out. I haven't seen the latest season. The last season that came out the last season? The
finale? Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you gotta. Oh, it's yeah.
Is it the finale? The Righteous Gemstone.
Like, yeah, it came out like last year. Was the end of the season?
Yeah, I know. I just haven't had. I don't have the opportunity to see it.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was it. That was it. The season.
What's
that's the finale?
What was that streaming on?
Series.
What's that?
Yeah, series.
HBO.
I don't.
It's HBO. Max, isn't it?
Yeah, HBO.
Is it? HBO.
Yeah.
HBO Max. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
HBO.
Yeah, if you get a chance to see that, yeah, the last season is really good. Because yeah, that show like gets so intense, and it's so absurd. But it's comedy, but there's also a lot of intense drama and like suspense, and it's a very like it hits these emotional like you know shockers like oh my god it just takes the turns and hits way deeper than you're expecting because it's way more than just a satire on the Christian and the far religious right and the you know
it's that, realistic.
Probably is, but yeah, it's like they're the worst people in the world, you know. But I kind of love. Yeah, it's fantastic. I finally did see. We did see Spinal Tap 2: The End Continues, which was pretty good. It had some pretty decent moments in it. It's hard seeing everyone so old.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God, these guys were like, oh yeah, I look at myself in the mirror. Yeah, it's hard to see me old too. I get it. yeah, there were a couple jokes that fell flat, a couple areas like, oh, damn, that wasn't good. But for the most part, it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
I've never seen it.
Eventually, will.
Yeah. Maybe I should just skip the first one and watch the second one. Like,
oh yeah. No.
Like Dr. Tarr, skipping season one.
Yeah, you got to see Tap.
It's Monarch, so I figured I could do that. But all right, I was going to go back and see it, but
I got to see Monarch from the beginning. It does set up kind of nicely. I mean, it goes through. You got back and forth in different timelines. That's the whole thing, though.
Too. Right, and yeah. I got up with this one too. Yeah, it jumps
yeah.
and.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's fun.
And it has monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has Kong too.
Yeah. What about you, Professor Feather?
I haven't really been watching a whole lot. I've been doing a bunch.
Well, this is your episode.
So many other things. I know. I watched a movie called Black Bag. A Steven Soderbergh movie. It's what I call the ironic spy genre, kind of like Harry Palmer, you know Michael Caine back in the day.
Yeah,
it's kind of that kind of like these sophisticated spy type people.
Ooh, Michael
but
Caine.
I'm going to read this because I think this is good. This is from the IMDb description. It says, when intelligence agent Catherine Woodhouse is suspected of betraying the nation, her husband, also a legendary agent, faces the ultimate test of whether to be loyal to his marriage or his country. Now, that is the story. Mm-hmm. But it's written by David Koepp, who's a pretty good writer. He's a director too. He's done some stuff, you know. I think he did he wrote one of the Indiana Jones, the Skulls one, I think. I think he wrote that screenplay, but I mean, he's around. It's an extremely intelligent script, and it's done by Steven Soderbergh, who is, you know, come on, one of the top directors going. And Michael Fassbender stars in it, and Kate Blanchett.
Oh.
Yeah, that would get it. They're married, and there's
Gadfly.
There's this conflict there, but there's these other spies. They're all spies. They're spies. There's these other spies who are. They're all together. They all work together, and the main guy, Michael Fassbender, has like a dinner party with all of these people there, and. I don't really want to talk about it a lot.
It's great
because
I love it.
It's really good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not just a It's a really good movie. Well done, very well done, and yeah. The acting is everybody in it is just absolutely superb. You know, I couldn't recommend it more highly. Really, and you know, I'm going to watch it again because I think it's, you know, there's some stuff there that I'm going to want to see over again. So yeah, I just watched that not a few days ago. I've been watching. I went back to watch. I am currently watching all of The Boys. Because the new finale comes out in April. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I'm going to be real fresh on everything, you know. And it's good because I'm picking up things that I kind of missed, you know. Oh, wait a minute. You should go, oh, they did talk about that at that time, but you didn't make that association. And it's extremely, extremely well done. And one of the most extremely disgusting things I've ever seen. You know, this is like Cronenberg territory in a lot of ways, you know, some of the avenues that they go down.
Yeah. Orgasm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just
super orgy.
Just everything. Yeah. But there's just so much in it, you know.
Inventive.
And it's not only just that, it's funny. You know, there's dark black, as black comedy as you can get, but it is comedy. It's still, you know, there's still that, it's that whole satire thing, you know. It's
just defiling the whole superhero
it's also a logical
right
outcome in certain ways, could happen.
It's kind of like martial law, isn't it?
It's great. I mean, I'm enjoying it, you know, watching it the second time through here and, you know, and up to watching the finale. So, I've been watching that a lot. And we watch, every night we usually watch one or two episodes of The Lone Ranger, the old TV. Western series.
Maybe more. Jim Silverheels.
As onerous as it is,
Kimasabi means what?
It's fun.
That's, I grew up watching that too. My dad is a huge Lone Ranger fan, and he loves westerns anyway. And so he loves having his Western channel on, you know, his old time westerns and Hopalong Cassidy and all those other ones. But Lone Ranger was always his favorite. You know,
that's Feather, you saw those when you were little, right? TV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me come back. I'm going to tie into the last episode when we talked about Glenn Strange being the being the Frankenstein's monster. Well, Glenn Strange, I was familiar with him and didn't realize all of this until just recently. We went through the whole Hopalong Cassidy movie series. You know, there are like 25 movies or something like that. Well, Glenn Strange is probably in half of them as a bad guy.
Frankenstein. He's Frankenstein's monster.
It's so funny. It's so funny because every time I see him, I laugh. You know, because thinking of I remember him as a Frankenstein.
Oh, it's kind of funny. His only line is
And he was also, I think, we probably mentioned too. He was the bartender in Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name? I don't know. I can't remember his name. I remember him though.
Yeah, he was
big old mustache. And,
recurring character throughout the series, that series lasted a long time.
Like the longest running drama on TV, I think, right?
Yeah. Something like that. We just started watching. I think it's on Pluto TV. We were watching Gunsmoke. Because the early, maybe a couple of years, I don't really remember. They're only half hour. You know, they're not even a full hour. So at some point, they switch and they become full hour shows. I don't know when that happens, but I'm really disappointed because we're trying to watch. Oh, The Closer. I wanted to watch that too because that's on, I think, Pluto or something. But I'm so disappointed in the amount of ads that they bombard you with. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Everything.
It's just really bad. And it, you know, I don't know if I'm even going to continue watching.
They're all driving you toward paywalls, and even some of those, like on Roku Channel, they're like trying to push like Friendly and the other.
But even, you know, you go to those, and even those have ads.
Yeah. And Prime. Like, wait a minute, I'm paying money to see this. Don't give me a fucking commercial.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go back to the
black. And they don't even have, they can't put it at the beginning or the end either. It has to be like breaking the movie up. Yeah. Whatever.
To go back to the black bag. Michael Fassbender is also in a new series where he plays a spy. called the Agency Central Intelligence, and it's really, really good. I think there's only one season out, but it's really well shot and stuff. It's about a spy who's been undercover for 7 years, you know, out in the field, and he gets brought back in, and so it's about him reacclimating himself, and there's something going on, and. But you get to see how smart he is, you know, and how he's able to set things up and move things around. But then you got these other spies that are doing the same thing, and you think he's got one over on them, and then they've got him in a corner. It's just really well written kind of spy genre stuff. So I love Michael Fassbender. He's married to Alicia Vikander, who was she played the android in what was that one movie? What's it? Now I can't remember what it was called.
Ex Machina?
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina?
Yeah, she played the robot in Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie.
Ooh, really yeah. Like yes.
Movie. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That is
she's so a hot fun. Bot.
So, speaking
of. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's. That's. I've. Maybe a. Four or five movies I've tried to watch, I would start watching and just go, not right now. nothing can grab me. Nothing is grabbing me.
I get it.
The Black Bag, I saw it was Soderbergh, so I thought, well, I'll at least give that a try. And I'm like, oh, shit. it just came out in 2025, so, you know, it's not a very old movie.
Yeah, I saw it.
But it's a good, yeah, I went, oh, you know. This was almost worth, you know, sitting through all the crap that, that you get through Prime Video now. But, you know, at least I got to watch this really good movie. They know how to please me.
Yeah, that's really good. I just saw
now tickle it. Yeah,
one battle after another. The Paul Thomas
really Anderson did you
new one? Yeah, it's awesome. I forget how he's able to take like a serious subject and still make you laugh at points, you know what I mean? Because it's not even like ba-dum bump, you know, it's not comedic, it's just he has funny ways of observing things. And there's one where what's his face is a revolutionary, it comes to today, you know, so 20 years later or 15 years later, and he's just a total pothead and drinks all the time. That's all he does while he's in hiding, and they get made, so they have to run, you know, and so he's got to utter these passwords to have people come pick him up, and he can't remember the fucking passwords, and it's just all this time on the phone he's just like going, I don't know the fucking password, it's me, god damn it. And I'm like, this is like, you know, how you have passwords for everything now. So I thought that was really hilarious. But yeah, it's really good. It's a really weird, you know, he always ends up being able to throw some weird stuff in there and just making it good. So yeah, I highly recommend it. And he's got two actresses or actors, whatever you want to call them, that are new. Like they've not done a lot with them, and they're amazing. So yeah, I would highly recommend seeing that.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I would like to. We'll eventually see it. Yeah.
So I would recommend Apple TV. I have it free until April, but I think I'm going to continue paying for it. I think it's $12.99 a month, but there is so much good stuff on there and their original content, and they have no commercials, none whatsoever. They got a lot of good original TV. They've got a lot of good original movies, and they get some other movies that are not, you know, necessarily theirs either. But I would highly recommend it. There's a ton of content, and you're not locked in. You can just get a month, get 2 months, whatever. They just bill you monthly.
We've been revisiting WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, classic.
And we're trying to, you know, find something stuff to, you know, old stuff to watch, and like and like revisiting that show. And I remember liking it because it came on, what, 1978?
Yeah.
So
78,
and,
was it? Yeah.
And,
oh, was it? Oh,
man. Yeah, that's when it first came out. And so it was, you know, the character, you know, Johnny Fever was like the rebel, and then you got, you know, Venus Flytrap, who's like the cool dude, and then Jennifer
Herb Tarlick,
you know, and then Jennifer, just, you know, the sex bomb. Because I didn't remember much about the show other than some of the plots, the silliness of the plots, especially like episode 7, I think, or 6 or 7 is the turkey one, you know, the Thanksgiving Kind of like doing the whole all the humanity, you know, with the turkeys. Like, oh, but turkeys are falling from the sky and dropping like wet cement.
That was really funny at the time.
Yeah. And it it takes a long time to set up that joke, but hits, it's like, oh.
It's perfect. Okay. Yeah.
It is so
good. And him coming in and saying, we didn't know they couldn't fly.
Yeah.
It's good right out of the gate. The very first episode is excellent. It, like, from beginning to end, the very first episode is awesome because they're transitioning to easy listening music. And then they decide to go back to the rock and roll when Travis comes in. And those two old people come in and they smash their records. Johnny whips around and goes, all right, you two old people, up against the wall. Now, I've killed a lot of old people in my time. And then they do the drinking thing where, how's your reaction getting?
Yes.
What's his face? The
Johnny Fever.
Yeah, it gets faster. And he goes, this isn't right.
I think that used to be on Friday nights, if I remember correctly. That was a Friday night show.
I don't remember.
I think so. I remember I used to watching it with my cousin Friday or Saturday night or something like that.
I'm pretty sure it was Friday.
Was it Friday?
Yeah.
It was part of the Friday night lineup, before the monster movie came on. It was like shows that were on way before that.
I remember Mary Hartman being like that would always be on just before Big Chuck and Little John.
You can find that on, I think, archive.org has a bunch of Mary Hartman. I think
I watched a couple ones on there one time.
Because I remember being on I was really young. And I'm like, what the fuck is it? Norman Lear? It was a satire. But as a kid, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I watched way more Mary Hartsky on Big Chuck and Little John, Willie and Big Chuck.
Now it makes sense.
But going back to watch it now, I'm like, oh my God, this was so funny and smart and the deadpan and doldrum. But, you know, Norman Lear, man, really just knew how to cut through and really do something different and interesting. And that was such a great satire on the working class and on soap operas it's like, oh, this is really funny.
Well, like,
really
that's, you say soap operas. Remember Soap? The TV show Soap?
Yeah.
Soap was pretty funny, yeah.
It was really good, and it just kind of deteriorated as it went on and on.
It kind of peaked.
Got old.
Right, it didn't know what to do with itself. But I remember watching it. It was about the right age for me to have the hots for Catherine Hellman.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I wonder why that was.
That's a couple of good qualities she had. Yeah.
I like Bert. Bert made me laugh.
Yes.
Bert was going through his.
He was like the first Kramer.
Yeah, he was good.
Yes. Yes. Very, very impressed. Pre-Kramer.
Then the whole him being abducted thing.
It was so bizarre.
That's where they jumped the shark. That's pretty
funny. Well, they're pushing the boundary. And Billy Crystal, pushing the boundaries of his sexuality. Mm-hmm. And then you get the whole, like, the weird with, like, the ventriloquist thing.
With the ventriloquist. That was probably the stuff I liked the most about the show. Was that whole, because that could be pretty acerbic, you know? Uh-huh. And what you're saying about, Norman Lear cutting, there's some stuff in there, man, that was, would cut to the quick, but it was done in such a funny way that,
he really pushed the boundaries.
Rob Reiner was like that in a lot of ways. Rest in peace. Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a few comic geniuses.
Yes.
Who transformed the way we viewed television and what could be done in television. And, like the very first scene of All in the Family, you hear a toilet flush. I'm like, because that was forbidden. I mean, there's no toilet in the Brady Bunch. Like, it's a bathroom. There's no toilet. It was one of those things.
My God, don't you kids fart?
You weren't allowed to show that kind of stuff on TV. And that's when he's like, let's break all the taboos. Let's break racial taboos. Let's bring bathroom taboos. Let's bring all those things. Just wonderful.
Yeah. Did you see my little Banana Splits music clip?
No,
I saw this the other day. Lisa and I were sitting there, we were going through stuff, and this Banana Splits music came up, and it's like, I'll watch it. We haven't seen this in a while. We were both laughing. I forgot how that is really freaky music for a little kid. That is nothing like any kind of kids music you hear today, you know, on some kids show or anything like that. You know, everything.
I just remember the theme song, the sign on. I just remember that, the tra la la. That one.
No, this one was like, I'm gonna find us a cave. I'm gonna find us a cave for me and you. Yeah, anyway, it's like we're gonna way off on a hidden hill. Yeah, it was, anyway. Wow, and I got to thinking, wow, this is Banana Splits. They were. It's just funny.
Oh, I loved them. I loved the Banana Splits.
I never thought they were for kids to begin with. So.
I mean, it's so very trippy. You know,
it was definitely.
Yeah, let me look at now. This I'm is like
Sid Marty Krofft.
That's all the Marty Krofft, that Sid, you know, Sid Marty Krofft stuff, man. Yeah, that was not for kids. Jesus,
no, that was multi.
I loved it as a kid. I loved all of it.
That was almost, you know, multi level, kind of like Rocky and Bullwinkle. You know,
Ren and Stimpy.
Absolutely, absolutely multi level. You know, and Roger, it's funny because when Rocky and Bullwinkle were on when I was very young. We got it, even as young people, we got it, that it wasn't just for us. You know, they were saying jokes going, we're going to, that my dad would appreciate that. Well, then come to find out my dad would be sitting back there reading, supposedly, but he's actually watching, you know, he's actually watching. And I would look back and the book could go back up. You know?
That'd be the Muppet Show is like that, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Every once in a while, it's like, what? Is what you said?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah, when they used to show, remember they used to show the Warner Brothers cartoons when you were little?
Oh, yeah.
Uncensored or whatever, unfiltered.
Yes, unfiltered.
And you know, and you're watching this shit like at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever. It's like, at first, you know, you're a little kid. It doesn't matter. Then all of a sudden, you get a little older. It's like, hold on. It's like, what?
Yeah, the humor, it appeals to the adults because they were shown in theaters. So they were really, they weren't made intentionally for kids. Yeah, they work on both levels. So I appreciate them so much in so many ways now as a kid, especially the earlier ones through the 60s. Once you hit the 70s and they got cheap, Warner Brothers came in and they did some other stuff with Seven Arts.
Everything sanitized.
Well, it just was like a lot of the like, Roadrunner and Coyote, but it was like all flat. It didn't have the depth of beauty of like the ones that were done in the 50s. Those are cheap. Just gorgeous. Yeah, they were cheap looking. I'm like, I hated those.
That's because of the, you know, cost of the animation, you know.
And it became like, we're going to use three colors and we're going to use a lot of desert scenes because it's all brown, so let's just do that. You know, and it was like the same jokes retrashed, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Those ones from the 40s, did the same 50s were just beautiful, you know.
Yeah,
I love those. And it's really funny. I mean, Bugs Bunny is really counterculture, and a lot of those things were kind of subversive humor, at least for
the Tex Avery cartoons too. Yeah, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
Those so, I would like to. Yeah, I would definitely get a. I'd buy that collection if I could find his.
They have the entire one that goes up through Chuck Jones. So I think that's where they ended. You know, I don't know if there's anybody after him, but the one that you can buy, the box set, has all the racist ones from the early days as well. So they included all
the wartime cartoons and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them that they would never show on television. Even back in the 70s, they wouldn't show them on television just because they were...
Something weird used to be able to send away for a VHS tape.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I always remember the on USA, the channel, where you'd have Porky Pig go, son of a beep, 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 son of a beep, beep, beep. Son of a bitch, didn't you?
Son of a bitch. You thought I was going to say some. The fact that they had to make that, though, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes me laugh.
So, yeah.
The other one? What was the other one? This was like Fright Night. Late Night. You know, with Up All Night. That's what it was.
Up All Night.
But anyway, they would show. Yeah, they that's would show USA. Like this. Yeah. Yeah, they would show this little short with the cow singing. You know, it had the like cartoon mouth, and it was like, and then they would cut away to the calf singing whatever the Yeah, Lisa laughed so hard at that. It's just like she loved that.
I used to love that channel. You know, there's a lot of good stuff on there. The the other stuff that I would recommend, like the reason I think like Apple TV is so good, their production values on all their stuff is
pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing. So there's the Foundation trilogy or series. I think they're in four seasons, which I thought was really good.
I was interested. Has anybody watched it?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. And it's good. I don't know. I haven't read the books, so I don't know how much it follows. I think they do some updating just with science and stuff like that. But I thought it was really good. And then they got a lot of science fiction. There's one called Murderbot, which is based on a series of
I've seen parts of that.
It's really good. The premise is this security robot who's kind of half human, half robot, and they don't
he's like a used security bot.
Yeah, he's an older model, but he has hacked his governor and he hasn't told anybody that, so it's his monologue when people are talking to him, and he's getting pissed off because he just downloads all these Star Trek like shows and watches them,
all these soaps. He watches soap all day.
and they get some great people to play on it. It's such a spoof of Star Trek, you know. Their hairdos are just so like silly, it's just crazy. It's really good.
They're like
half hour long. So
is he like some, like, aren't they like communal, like literally space hippies?
Yeah.
They're like going out. Yeah. Yeah. He gets stuck with these guys to be their security bot whatever.
And they're trying to include him, and he just gets all uncomfortable, you know, about the thing, thinking they're going to find out that he's hacked his governor. But all that they establish like in the first 5 minutes. So it's, you know, but it's really well done. And apparently the books are really popular. I think there's a whole series of them. So that was really good. But there's a bunch of stuff on there that, so I said, even if you get it for a couple months, you'd have tons of stuff to watch.
I don't know if I'd mentioned this before. Maybe it sounds like I might have a show called Welcome to Flatch. Mm-mm. Two seasons. It's like a mockumentary. Takes place in a town of Flatch, Ohio, with like 1,700 people or something like that. And it's about the town residents and the pastor who plays by, I think, Sean Scott Williams. He's the pastor of a small church who used to be in a Christian boy band, you know. And it's about these two cousins. Really, they focus on them, and they're really kind of inept. It's like definitely inspired by like Napoleon Dynamite kind of thing, but it's about them just kind of living their lives in this really, really small town. And it's just silly and goofy because there's a whole cast of characters who kind of contained in this small town, but it's quite silly. I definitely recommend that. Welcome to Flatch. Two seasons. I think that's on, I don't know if that's on Apple or Prime, but that's really good.
Yeah, it says here Movie Sphere, whatever that is.
Oh, maybe it moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of it. I like Sean Williams Scott. I think he can be funny sometimes.
Yeah. It's got that kind of, you know, if you like the mockumentary style of kind of, you know, kind of humor, it's quite good. And then the cousins are great. One of the cousins used to be in a show called The Children Are All Right, or The Kids Are All Right. He was one of the older kids. And then the girl who plays his cousin is just so funny. Her delivery is really good because, you know, it's a lot of subtle and like looking at the camera and, you know, kind of like the office or the breaking that fourth wall. But it's a mockumentary. So there's a lot of good stuff like that. But the only other thing I've been kind of revisiting from when I enjoyed as a kid is the Flash Gordon serials, you know, especially the going back to the first one, Buster Crabbe, and you know, just used to love watching those as a kid because they came on, I think, Sundays, like afternoons, and then when I was like in fourth grade, they would show them during the winter time if we couldn't go out and play or something or whatever. At lunchtime, you know, go to the gymnasium, they would show, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they would sit on the floor in the gymnasium, they'd put up the projector, and they would show it. And then, like, you know, and then the kids were howling.
That's all we got!
You know, the ship's going around, you hear that, like it's a sparkler in the back and smoking. And you knew how ridiculous it was, you know, at a young age. It was still goofy.
Yeah.
But now I just they're just tremendously fun, you know. And so kind
I remember kind these before the cool.
All those serials, like the Purple Monster Strikes and yeah. Captain Marvel and all those
Leonard Nimoy
Republic serials, you know, are just really not all good. Some of them are pretty downright bad. But like King of the Rocket Man, you know, they're just an era gone by, and they're just shot on the cheap, you know, and you just kind of sit back and you just turn off your brain and have a good time.
Yeah, they were the precursor to TV shows.
Mm. Well, yeah,
you know,
and superhero movies. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Because you know that's what you know evolved, and you know when as television went, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I would like to see a couple. There, I think Tubi had one of them.
Yeah,
I haven't seen very much.
Spy Smasher. I think Tubi has that one. I think. Or Pluto. Pluto has some too, I think, maybe.
I think they're all on archive.org.
And you can find them on archive. You can find a bunch of them on archive.
Yeah, this is good. Anybody? Go ahead, Professor Feather. More?
No, I was going to say something else I was going to talk about, but I can't remember now. Another TV show, but yeah, I lost it. It's gone.
Oh.
It's on the ether.
Oh. Was it The Boys?
It was The Boys. No. It's called Young Sherlock.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new series on Prime. Not too bad. We've watched, I think, 3 episodes or 4 episodes now. I think it's
like
one season out. Yeah, it's not too bad. The second episode I didn't like, but the rest of them have been pretty good. And it's you know, a totally different play. He's in college, or he actually doesn't go to college. He's more of a...
it's when he gets hooked.
He's a clerk, you know. He's a servant kind of guy. But he meets Moriarty, and he and Moriarty become really good friends. And they do these adventures and stuff together. That's kind of, you know, so that's the twist on everything else. They show him getting that, you know, the hat, the stupid hat that, you know, the houndstooth hat.
Right.
And he's Sherlock is trying it on, and Moriarty comes by and takes it off. Says, "Get that up." Says, "If you ever wear that, we'll never be friends again." that was pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah. It's not bad.
They have both Sherlock Holmes that Guy Ritchie did on Prime right now too, so you can watch
them. We just watched the first one. Benny and I watched it while we did a two-parter, you know, while we were eating supper, and I forgot how good they are, you know.
Yeah.
So we've got the other one in queue. We're going to watch that, you know when we eat.
Didn't Peter Cushing do a couple? I know he did.
Yes, he did.
39, yeah. Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah.
But I thought he did like another one too.
He did. Right? He did a different. He did.
Maybe that was like British TV too.
Yeah.
You might have.
How was he? Is anybody seen him? I mean, I saw Hound of the
Baskervilles. Go ahead.
Oh, I saw Hound of the Baskervilles. Is the only one I've seen of his. Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yes and no. I mean, it looks like a Hammer film, and it's got that pacing. And I'd seen other iterations of Hound of the Baskervilles, you know, and I kind of like the story. I don't think it's, you know, it's a very popular one.
That's not right.
Yeah, I think it's okay. You know, certainly.
Yeah, I didn't think it was too bad. Too bad.
And I like Cushing as Holmes. He just, I didn't mind him as Holmes.
Yeah, I thought he was okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I like.
He's a big Holmes fan anyway.
The new Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr., there's the scenes where he like he's anticipating the fight.
Yes.
Like, or he sets it up and he plays that. And I don't, in the movie Tag, they do that same kind of formula. If we talked about Tag, or we mentioned it before.
I don't think so.
Oh, we've not seen Tag? Then we are going to do an episode on Tag. Well, I don't want to spoil it then. Okay. I will leave it at that. Yeah. Tag is hilarious.
Oh, I've seen it. Yes. I've seen it. It is funny.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah. It's about a group of friends who've been playing a game of tag for like 30 years.
Yeah.
It's based on a true story.
Yeah.
It is really good. The cast is hilarious. A really, really effective. Very funny movie.
It's almost 10 years old, too. I mean, it was like 2018 or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I used to be in touch with all movies that were coming out. You know what I mean? And now I'm like finding movies by directors I love that came out like 3 years ago that I never heard of. You know, like what Guy Ritchie did, Operation Fortune, Rudiger. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. And then I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this looks awesome. You know, so I'm putting that into my queue.
Yeah, I got it in my queue, too.
Yeah, the other ones that they have on Prime that you got to see, I think Nobody's pretty good, but they also...
Oh, Nobody? Yeah.
Sisu. If you haven't seen Sisu, man, it is great.
That's pretty hardcore. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. There's a sequel to it, too.
Yeah, just Nobody
came out.
Too?
Yeah, the sequel just came out.
Okay.
But Sisu is...
Awesome.
It's good. Yeah. It's good.
This Norwegian...
Not like
badass. I was just like,
not
yeah.
Not really
just,
like too many other things you've seen.
Well, and
what's the? Well, it's not even. No, I was gonna say, what's the crazy one? Henry the.
I'm the guy that's like a robot, first person.
Yeah. What's the name of that?
Oh,
Hardcore Henry. Hardcore Henry.
Hardcore Henry. Yes.
Hardcore Henry. It's not like that. It's not like that.
No, it's not first person.
It has the same sensibility, but it's not like that.
Think of like a badass Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of movie.
The guy seems to have a charmed life. I mean, it's very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, he's
it's fun. It's a fun movie.
Just the way he looks, he's old and craggy, but he just looks formidable. Like, just like, you know.
Yes.
You're like, this is Frank Miller would draw this guy.
Right. He finds this gold vein. And he's like, anyway. But that's everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk. Don't, yeah, because it's the story's good. And
definitely motivation.
The ending is great.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. I watched it a while back and was extremely surprised at how good I liked
it. I tell you, some
it's a John
movies from
Norwegian.
Yes.
Yeah. there's some kind of interesting stuff coming out of Norway and stuff in that area. Movie wise,
it always has been. Troll 2. I've not seen Troll 2, but Troll was fun. I've not seen Troll 2.
Awesome. Yeah.
And what's the one Rare Exports?
Yeah.
That we did. Oh, that was good. Let the Right One In, or
that was Finland.
Rare Exports. Yeah. Well, it's all that Scandinavian, you know.
Yeah.
All the
Troll Hunter.
Troll Hunter. All those countries, you know, putting out stuff. But they always have.
Yeah.
You think about it. You know, we're just not exposed to it. And we're more able to be exposed to it now than ever before, you know.
So. On Tubi.
They have some really good police procedural movies or TV series and mystery dramas that are really intense. And then their sensibilities are different. There's a bleakness to their filmmaking that I really like.
Right.
Yeah, very good. Like we talked about with Let the Right One In. I mean, the look of it is cool.
Yes.
With the troll, they're cold, freezing. I do like the sensibilities.
On Tubi, they have like their first, I think it's like Norway, Lapland, or whatever, first horror movie, The White Reindeer, where a woman like turns into this white reindeer that's kind of like a vampire.
When did it come out?
1958.
Oh, really?
Seven. It could be earlier, but it's like 1950 something.
Interesting.
But anyway, it's their first. Yeah, and it's based on their whatever folklore that they had.
Like a were creature.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there we go.
white reindeer. Yes.
What talking about, like in Copenhagen, they had Netflix did a documentary about this woman who went in a homemade submarine with this guy and disappeared, and so they think he murdered her, and so they went through this whole investigation, and then they made it into a miniseries on HBO, and it's produced in Copenhagen by all those people, and it's amazing. You know, it's a really good, just really paced, you know, you gotta, if it's slow, you know, deliberately paced and all that stuff. But it's so good to watch other cultures and how they interact with each other and how they do things and like the way they discipline themselves.
Yeah.
It's just I highly recommend it. So the one the I, the documentary is called Into the Deep. Into the Deep. And then the HBO series is called The Investigation.
I know we talked about this, but I like the, I think it was called Border. But it was, it's that one where the woman, she's really ugly, but she's like a security person at a airport or whatever. But she has this ability to just kind of sense when people are lying and smelling, and she could smell all this stuff. Do you remember this? And she, anyway, it ends up she's a troll, and she ends up running into this other one that.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. No, I thought we had talked about this.
I don't remember talking.
It's just an odd movie. It's just really odd movie. It's called, I think it's called Border. And they're real, and both of them kind of look, had this.
Ooh, that's a stop.
Yeah.
I think that's a real freeze right there.
That's a wrap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tar hit his word limit. It is called, shut off.
It is called Border. I've not seen it, but it's Swedish, I think, or something like that. Iranian Swedish. How does that happen?
I've never heard of it.
Iranian Swedish?
Yeah, it's Border, but it's, they call it Grants. Grans. So I wonder if Tar knows he's frozen.
I don't know.
That's a good look. He likes, he's going to rule the world. That's right. I'm taking over. All right. So, anybody have anything else, or should we wait for him to come back?
We could wrap it.
I think we've
talked about a few things. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple of new things I want to check out.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, I pay the extra so I don't have commercials on Prime because I couldn't take it. So, and even then, there's still stuff that has commercials on it. You know, there's certain.
Yes, exactly. I'm same way.
Yeah, yeah. We get Prime just because we have Prime, and so we get the low version with the commercials and stuff in it. But yeah, I'm getting a little fed up with all the streaming. I think because of the commercials.
Yes.
And it used to be like one place you can get all this shit, and now it's all so faceted and broken up. It's like you might as well go back to cable. You know, it's like ridiculous. So,
that's exactly what it is. It's not, and cable was nothing more than, you know, a Frankenstein version of broadcast TV, and now we're right back to broadcast TV. This is broadcast internet, and you're paying for it one way or another. Mm-hmm. You know, back then you could only pay for it one way. Now you have multiple ways to pay for it.
Yeah,
and because depending on how you want to do it.
Because it's all getting segmented. Like now, if you want to watch Star Trek, you got to go to Paramount. If you want to watch this show, you have to go here and there.
Yes.
It's like, you know what? I'm not going to get 20 fucking services. It's like, no.
That's
it's like, no, if you're going to make it impossible, then I'll find it elsewhere.
It's the same with software. They do the same with software too. You know, everybody has subscription fatigue. Because they're just like, and it's hard to keep track of them. You know, like if you start adding them up, you know, you're like, wow, I didn't realize I was spending that much.
Yeah, so. I hate it. I hate that stuff. Just like, let me buy the software and let me just use it.
This is why I say Apple TV is, of the ones that I have seen, is the best quality to me, just because there are
I think I'll do a subscription to it. And maybe I'll find some stuff to, I'm just having a hard time finding a lot of stuff I like, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll find some more stuff on that.
That's how I feel. Yeah.
Or, even Disney, when they acquired Hulu, like the stuff that says go to Disney to watch it, because they had a lot of stuff. Now it's like, oh, no, we moved it to Hulu. I'm like, well, fuck you, Disney.
Yeah.
Well, at least now when you go to Disney, they used to mix it all. So you didn't know what was Disney and what was Hulu. You know, so what were you going to get commercials and what were you going to get? But now they've got the little buttons up top. So it says ESPN, Hulu, or Disney. So I can just click Disney because I get that free with my phone subscription.
Phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Disney's got a lot of great content. I love watching Pixar stuff on there, and it's got all the Marvel stuff and a lot of cartoons, and it's just, I'm kind of burned out on having all these choices and how much money you have to pay. It's like, no. I'd rather just get myself a VPN and just find it out there and download it and say, fuck you. And I'll just not going to pay for any of you fuckers. You got stingy and you got greedy and like, well, that's just, fuck you. You don't deserve it. So there, take it.
That sentiment is quite
prevalent?
Prevalent. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, in a lot of areas, people.
Right. Just by a large hard drive.
It's gone up like tremendously.
Yeah.
Because of their practices, you know, and it's rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, we got a media player on our TV right now. It's a nice, like, Numi, which is really nice. And I've got a 5 terabyte drive attached to it with movies and TV shows and everything. It's like,
what's it called? Numi?
Yeah, like NUMI. I've got an extra one if you want it, Getfly.
I bought one, but it's a piece of shit. It's a little thing that you put an SSD card into or whatever. It's like,
oh no. Okay. I'm not sure if this one has it. This one's got the HDMI out. It's a really, really, you know, 4K, beautiful picture and sound quality. It's really nice. It was like $40. Well worth it. Well worth it. Because I got so much shit, you know? Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what we've been watching.
Yeah, it looks kind of like what I have. Yeah.
Nope.
Uh-oh.
All right, you're Professor Feather.
How about now?
There you go.
All right.
Bad connection.
Yeah, I got...
Between my ears.
Yeah, I was going to say I got bad connection. All right, I'll take us out.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
Have been experiencing he's invisible.
Tar. Where are you, Tar? Oh, there you go.
gmail.com/radio.com/radio on Facebook. Tar. I'm spent.
I said never do the outro on the toilet. Come on, man.
That's what we usually finish at.
That's right. Talking about huge finish. Heavy Metal Horror. That's right, on the Facebook Heavy Metal Horror Podcast, on the YouTubes, and Montag Lewis, one word, on the Instagrams. Yeah, tomorrow's show is going to be really great. We're recording 2 episodes. We got a new First Track Frenzy, and then we've got Tony Dolan from Venom Inc. coming back to join us for a slugfest, doing a 2 Merciful Fate albums, Into the Unknown versus 9. Tony Dolan, Venom Inc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.